people wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times they are a-changing.
Well, thanks for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show. You are listening to episode 37. I will admit, I have recorded this intro about 6 or 7 times. The reason being is because I tend to ramble. Anybody who's listened to the show, either the Mile High Show or my talk radio show on KQ&A, and that's at kqna.com, will realize that I'm not very concise. I don't know why, because I'm an idiot, I guess. Anyway, the genesis of tonight's show, our guest today, Chris Marley, the mayor of Chino Valley, the town where I live, and newly appointed Councilman Corey Mendoza. The way we got to this conversation is pretty convoluted, and I've tried to get into it without, I don't know, it just rambles, and my brain doesn't wrap around that too easy. Let me try again. A couple of years ago, there was an election. Our town is governed by a board, a body of 7, 6 council members who are on a rotating election cycle. So each election cycle, 3 or 4 will be up for re-election, and then the next cycle, the other 3, they are in 4-year terms, so it kind of rotates, with the exception of the mayor, who is elected every 2 years. So on any given election cycle, half of the body or thereabouts will come up for election. Okay, in 2013, the last election cycle for these folks, 3 seats were open, 4 people ran for them. The victors were Council Member Miss Linda Hatch, Council Member Miss Pat McKee, and Council Member Mr. Don Wojcik. The 4 that were running included those 3 and Mr. Corey Mendoza, a local businessman, and he did not secure a seat. The board, the town council, for the last few years, has pretty much been a standard 4-3 split on everything. The sitting council members of, their name, Turner, Croft, Best, and Mr. Mayor Marley, would vote one way. The newly elected 3 of McKee, Wojcik, and the incumbent who was reelected, Linda Hatch, would vote the other. So 3-4 split, pretty much across the board. Well, a couple of months ago, mid-meeting, they took a break, a little recess, and during that recess, Miss Linda Hatch tendered her resignation to the town clerk and left the meeting. It's a long reasons why, and if you're interested, you can search the records, the videos of those meetings and the minutes at chinoaz.net. So, 1 seat was open. A committee met. A board met, the appointments committee, whatever they're called, met, selected from a group of applicants who submitted, and they appointed Mr. Corey Mendoza, who was unsuccessful to secure a seat in the previous election. Well, over the course of the next couple of weeks, another meeting was set up. Corey was sworn in. Then 2 weeks ago, at our last meeting, just before the meeting, I sat down with the mayor and learned that Mr. Wojcik and Ms. McKee also tendered their resignation, creating 2 more opens. Now, what that means is that in 2016, instead of the alternating seats being open, all 7 seats on our town governing body, our town council, the 6 council members and the mayor, will all be up for re-election. And that's a very unique situation for a town of any size, for a small town like ours, to have an election where all 7 seats are open is very, very unique. So we sat down after that meeting when those two resignations of McKee and Wojcik were made public. We sat down at Arturo's Mexican restaurant, a favorite of mine, a favorite of the town, to sit down and talk with Mayor Marley and Councilmember Mendoza to see what their take is on this cycle coming up where all seven seats will be open, the challenges of governing a small town like ours, 10,000 folks with a very, very diverse populace. How do you make people happy? How do you make one part of the population happy without ticking off the other parts? It is a challenging job that I'm glad I don't have. When I make decisions that make people mad, they just make me sleep on the couch. So I don't have to worry about 10,000 people screaming and hollering at me, although it's happened before. I've been yelled at by probably that many. So we sat down and recorded at Arturo's and talked with Mendoza and Marley about what they have planned, what's going forward for our town, and the wild, wild west of small town politics. Again, we recorded at Arturo's Mexican Restaurant, Highway 89 in Chino Valley, 503 Miller Valley Road in Prescott. Tonight's sponsor is another favorite eatery of mine, Gabby's Kitchen. It's the Gabby's Restaurant family. They have a Gabby's Kitchen, great breakfast and lunch in Chino Valley, 2235 Highway 89, and also 8164 Spouse Drive in Prescott Valley. Those are the Gabby's Kitchens. And then most recently, a few months back, they opened up Gabby's Grill. If you are a listener of the show and listened a few months ago when we sat down with a live audience and Mr. Sky Daddy Conwell, we recorded that at the Gabby's Grill, also in Prescott Valley, which is a bar and grill with a great patio and a great menu, and above all, great staff and great owners in the names of Jim and Kelly Cabral. So check out the Gabby's restaurant families, especially Gabby's Grill at gabbysgrill.com. They are the sponsors of today's episode, so thank you for taking care of us whenever we visit Gabby's Kitchen or Gabby's Grill. So let's get to it. We're going to talk small town politics, the challenges of making a bunch of people happy without having them burn you an effigy on hanging from the light poles down Main Street. So sit back, enjoy my conversation recorded at Arturo's Mexican Restaurant in Chino Valley with His Honor Mayor Chris Marley and newly appointed council member Mr. Corey Mendoza. Thanks for listening.
The line it is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast as the present now.
Is this our sound check here?
No, we're live.
We're live. we're recording. Okay.
First off, thanks for coming in, Corey. Give me a little quick bio on Mr. Mendoza.
Well, Mr. Mendoza has lived in the area for 45 years.
So you moved in when you were six?
7 years old.
Seven.
Yep. So been in the area, mostly Prescott, growing up. Then most of my adult life out here in Chino. Married, daughter, one granddaughter. Chino Valley's been home, and it's going to be home for a lot longer, I hope.
Now, you are obviously no stranger to the comings and goings of the town, being here as long as you have. Some of the struggles that we faced with the tax base, with the economy hits that we've taken in recent years, and hopefully we're on the recovery from, but you feel that more so than a lot of folks as a business owner and the type of business you're in, correct?
Yes.
Give us a little background on your business. Let's free plug. Go ahead.
Luckily, since I have lived here so long and also a small business owner of almost 20 years now, I can see things from both sides of the fence as a businessman and as a resident. The bad rap that Chino's kind of gotten, well, somewhat deserved, being a difficult place to be in business.
What is that business?
I'm in trucking is what I do. So we're construction related.
You can say it.
We have dump trucks. CNR Trucking is Corey and Robin, which is my wife. And it's a family business, and we fought with planning and zoning before and code enforcement, and we've been through the whole gamut of growing a business here.
Now you were sworn in as a council member a couple weeks back, July 28th, but you had officially thrown your hat in the ring in what was it, 12? End of 12 for the 2013 election?
Yes.
2013 election as council. Was that your first attempt?
I was prompted to join the council, and I thought, yes, I need to throw my hat in the ring.
Why?
Nobody likes losing. But I got beat. I was number 4 out of 4, but it didn't discourage me. For where I wanted to go. So I joined planning and zoning, volunteered, and they accepted me. So since then, I've been a planning and zoning commissioner, which has been a great tool at this point to learn a lot of the goings-on of the town, so that when we did have the resignation of one of the council people, I was much more ready to go into that seat than I would have been should I have won one of the spots originally. So as the runner-up, I think that was part of the choice of the council for choosing me, because I had gone through the whole process. So here I am.
Now, you, I'm sure, like all of us that live in any town, it's, you know, the human nature is to second-guess and be a Monday morning quarterback, I think was the old saying. But when, as a businessman, as a citizen, as a Chino Valleyite, I'm sure you had ideas of how things were done, and then dealing with planning and zoning and permits and things as a business owner, you got firsthand how things were done. How accurate was your perception as opposed to the reality when you did come onto the P&Z board? Was it pretty much what you expected, or were there any surprises?
For the most part, since I had dealt with it personally, I knew a lot of the ins and outs to it. I will say that there, one of the things that I really became aware of, and as a council person, I will try to educate others on this, that a lot of the funding that's available to the town is earmarked for a specific purpose. And I know I was guilty of, what is the town doing building, expanding a dog park when the roads are in the condition that they're in?
Why are you putting horses up on a state highway when I got a big pothole in front of my house?
Yes. And as I learned more of how monies are allocated, you become more accepting of it.
Yeah.
Because so much of these monies come from a federal level that we just, or state level, we just really don't have any control of them. And we may as well take advantage of it, because if we don't get our share of those federal monies, there's other towns that will.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and take that money and enjoy the dog park. But meanwhile, as a local government, we still have the issues of our own potholes and things of that sort that we have to deal with.
Whether it's state, federal, or town or county money, wherever it comes from, if it's tax money, in one way or another, it's coming out of all of our pockets as taxpayers.
It is.
Well, I throw my hat in there. I don't pay taxes, though. So nobody listens to this. We're okay. But as taxpayers, it comes from the tax base. So even if it's federal money, we in Chino are paying that through our federal taxes and through everything else. If we don't partake of it, if we don't apply for it, grant money or whatever, and then accept it when it comes in with whatever stipulations the giver puts on it, it's going to go to another community.
Yes.
It's going to go to another state. So
yes.
Sometimes it's, hey, let's just make sure they know we're on the radar. We want some money. That way when money comes for truly essential areas, they still know who we are and we can be in line theoretically for that money.
Absolutely right.
Gotcha. Now, nodding his head next to us is our good friend and former guest over here, Chris Marley, our mayor. Thanks for joining us, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
Now, give us the Reader's Digest 90-second reason why Cory Mendoza is now filling the seat he's in now. He was sworn in on the 28th. What happened in the weeks leading up to the 28th of July that led to Cory being sworn in?
Oh, I guess we can go back as far as
nice and tight in there.
Okay, I guess we can go back as far as Cory's running in the last election. That got his name around town, got some interaction between him and other folks in the town. So when he applied for this opening on the council, he was one of the folks who already had the name recognition. Our council appointments committee went in and they interviewed, I think, 11, maybe 12 folks. There was a handful of folks that threw their hats in the ring. And apparently Cory interviewed well, because when we came out of executive session after discussing the process, thank you. When we came out of executive session after discussing the process, when the head of the appointments committee suggested that Councilman Mendoza's name be voted on, that was the first name that was put forward. As I said, we had quite a few applicants, and so the appointments committee recommended him. And we voted that night, what was it, 3-2.
I believe so, yeah.
And so,
nodding. That was the process. That doesn't come across in audio real well.
Anyway, I think it's interesting, as you pointed out, 2 weeks ago he was sworn in, and as Harvey Skoog says, he's been sworn in 3 times and sworn at well into the triple digits. So I think that fits.
Okay,
us all.
Now you didn't touch on it, but let's touch on it now. Where did that opening come from?
Why
did the opening come up?
Okay, Councilwoman Hatch, who had been Councilwoman Linda Hatch, she had been on council for probably 10 years now. She'd spent quite a bit of time on the council. She had resigned, I believe it was in March. And
May, it was May.
Was it in May?
Hey, Lynn, okay. What was that date I gave you for Hatch? Mid-May.
And anyway, when she resigned, that left an opening on the council, and it sort of threw us into a flurry, because we'd never been in a position, this council had never been in a position of having to fill a slot from a resignation. And so it was good that we got that process going.
Yeah,
so.
And it's good because I hold in my hand here two letters that you read tonight.
Yes, sir.
At the meeting. One was delivered late last week. The other was delivered yesterday, I believe.
Yeah, yesterday afternoon, I believe.
And that was the resignation of two additional council members.
That's correct.
Council member Don Wojcik and council member Pat McKee, both of whom were in the election that saw the re-election of Hatch.
Right.
Their election into the seat that Cory ran in, Cory Mendoza ran in 2013. And you as mayor, to be reelected as mayor. So and that was what was discussed at the council meeting tonight. And we're recording this just following, the August 11 council meeting, in Chino Valley, and we are sitting in a restaurant down the street from Town Hall at Arturo's. So thanks to the good folks at Arturo's for letting us come in. This is we've recorded here before, and they're always real gracious in letting us come in and take up space. So we'll put that plug in real quick first. Maybe we'll get some free food out of it. Not for you guys, because you guys are elected officials.
We can't.
And that would be unethical. I, on the other hand, take anything that's offered to me that's free. So
every Dorito, every chip has a serial number.
I will give you a receipt for those ice cubes in your Diet Coke, Corey.
Yeah. Okay.
So after tonight's meeting,
okay,
the town of Chino Valley, the council of Chino Valley, is in a very unique situation in that. One, the first time you had to deal, at least in recent memory, the first time you as a body.
That's correct.
And as far as I don't, there's been, well, we won't even go back far because as far as I've been involved with the town and in most people's recent memory, it's the first time the council had to fill a position from resignation, as you said.
Yeah.
And within a matter of a couple of months, several weeks, we now have to go through that process for two other openings.
That's correct.
Now, we are looking forward to getting some information coming from the town shortly.
Mm-hmm.
The town of Chino Valley at online at www.chinoaz.net has links to their social media, their agendas, all that good stuff. So the town's Facebook page has some updates that were done during the meeting tonight. Very quickly done, very just the gist of each action. Get into detail a little bit of what the council decided tonight on how to fill this position.
Okay.
The two positions.
Okay. We really had a couple of options. One of the options was to go to the pool of candidates that had already applied.
The ones that were, and I hate to use this word left over, but the ones that were also in the running when Corey, when you were appointed, correct?
Yes, correct.
About 11, I think, is what it was. Yeah. Boiled down to 5, I think.
Mm-hmm. We took 5, I guess you could say, front runners, and Corey was selected from them. But we had that pool of qualified applicants. And we had a choice. We could either go back to that pool of qualified applicants and select two more individuals, or we could rebid the opening and go through the process of advertising it in the paper. And that way, the whole community, those who didn't have an opportunity to apply earlier, or for whatever reason, this allows them to come in. But, I would imagine that those who have already applied and interviewed will probably just keep their interviews and we'll just interview the new folks.
Okay, so it's opened up again, basically restarting the position. But if those that were not selected from the Corey race, if they are still interested, which if they were 2 weeks ago, most likely they still are, but that's for them to speak up and say. They could just stay in the mix, and then we're opening it up. The town is opening it up for additional applicants to throw their hats in the ring.
You bet.
And time frame on this, we won't hold you to it because I don't know if this is done through the clerk's office of the town.
Yeah.
Again, chinoaz.net, 928-636-2646 is the phone number.
Right.
But the information's there. But last time, I think it was like a 15-day, couple of weeks.
Yeah, it'll be probably about 3 weeks out before we're even getting ready to select two more candidates.
And once it's presented, it'll be presented by the appointment subcommittee, which is made up of
Daryl Croft,
Vice Mayor Daryl Croft,
Vice Mayor. Lon Turner.
Council member Turner.
I believe Mike Best.
Mike Best was the other guy. So it's three council members that sit on this committee, vet out the applicants, make their recommendation to council, and the full council votes on it.
Yeah, you bet.
So, Corey, 2 weeks in, how you doing?
So far, so good. I've already received a couple phone calls from some of our citizens with their personal opinions, and so that I'm off and running. So far, so good. No regrets yet.
Now, with your yet 2 weeks, yeah, give it time. When Mayor Marley, when did your first regrets start surfacing? And I say first because I know that list is long and deep.
Oh no, it's a, it's been an interesting ride. I'll stay with that.
Oh, we're gonna have to define interesting. What are, Corey, what are the biggest challenges as a council member? There's three legs to this: as a council member, as a citizen, and as a business owner. What do you see the biggest challenges to the town? And then, are they different for those three legs, or are they all the same?
No, I think they're quite different. I think everybody lives here for a particular reason. A lot of people don't really want to see business growth. That they're here to retire, and they like it the way it is. Unfortunately, it's not sustainable that way. We don't have a property tax for Chino Valley, so the only way we get revenue is through sales tax. Sales tax comes from businesses.
So you're telling me I need to go buy more food at Arturo's?
That, yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so that's kind of the struggle, is balancing keeping the town a place that we want to live in, but then having enough business to bring in enough revenue to have the things to fix our potholes.
Yeah.
And that's the balance that is the battle on just where that line is. I don't want steel mills here, but I don't like the potholes either. So
yeah,
we got to come to a middle ground and go with it. And
yeah,
some people just don't want to move either way. And that's where politics comes in.
One of the, oh, go ahead.
Chris. Oh, no, I was just agreeing with Corey. This is great.
Now, let me open a can of worms here, and I'd like you to respond to it, Mr. Marley, Mr. Mayor. This is a complaint that you hear often. And it's one that makes me scratch my head when people ask me, why did the town close such and such? Why won't the town open such and such? Speaking of businesses.
Yeah.
We need more business because, like Corey said, it's sales tax is how we get our funding for the most part. Just address it straight out. Is the town in business of opening businesses?
No, we're not in the business of opening businesses, and for the most part, we're not in the business of closing businesses. I remember when Alco. When closed
exactly
their doors,
what I was thinking of.
It was like, well, Mayor, why did you people shut Alco down? And I said, if I'm not mistaken, it's a national chain.
Yeah.
And they're closing
based
all over.
Out of Texas,
yeah,
I believe.
It's interesting. The power that the citizens ascribe to a town council like this, we've actually, had our town clerks have been called and asked, can't we do something about the jet contrails that go over the town? No, I don't believe even Councilman Mendoza will have that much power. So.
No,
well, he's
no
a pretty powerful there. Guy. The other question that is often in the same vein is, why did the town let this business open up? So we have... We need more stores. We need more stores. And then a store opens down the street.
Yeah.
And they say, well, why did you let that open up?
No. Matter of fact, I just got asked that this morning. Why did you let such and such a business open up? And I said, well, if they are within the restrictions in the zoning laws. If you have commercial heavy, you can have, I believe it's a gas station or a auto repair shop or whatever. Commercial light, I believe, is like retail. Each zoning a type of zoning has its own requirements, and there's items that you can do in there that don't have to go to PNZ. If you're within those restrictions, you can do that. I believe Corey probably has some commercial heavy property on commercial heavy. He can probably park his dump trucks, his gravel trucks. But if he had commercial light, he could probably do that on there also. Is that not correct?
That one's right on the line.
Okay.
So because there's also areas of the town that are more designated. And the general plan deals with that. Okay. The areas that you want to see go heavy, light, you know.
So there's stuff currently that's zoned commercial heavy that's right now a pasture.
Yes. And if
because in the long run, maybe an industry might go in there.
You bet.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
And in answer to that, if I have a piece of commercial heavy property and it says I can put a gas station on that, I can put a gas station on that. And people get angry. They say, well, why did you let so-and-so put a gas station there? Well, that's the way it's zoned.
Yeah.
And it's still America. You can still do anything.
Well, for now.
For the moment.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Okay. As of this afternoon.
I saw a bumper sticker today that argues that point.
Argues it.
So basically what it boils down to is I want to open up a store that sells hammers.
Mm-hmm.
If I go and find an empty building that's zoned for retail that I can sell hammers in, I go to the town, get a business license, fill out the proper paperwork, talk to folks over there, dot all the I's and cross the T's, and then I can open up my hammer store.
Yep.
And then without fail, 10 people will call up and say, why did the town open another hammer store?
Yeah.
It's taking hammers out of my store. Is that kind of what it boils down to?
Exactly. You've actually been reading my mail, haven't you?
No, it's just I was trying to open up a hammer store, but my wife keeps throwing them at me. So where are we going? What's the goal with our town, in your eyes, Corey?
The town government does not create businesses, but the town is responsible for the infrastructure of the town. Now, that's something that we can do to then make it easier for a business to come in, because so many businesses don't want to come here when they look at a piece of property and say, hey, this would be nice, but where's the water? Oh, well, the well is right over there. Where's the sewer line? Oh, well, you can put a septic tank over there. And they turn and walk away.
So a business specifically, like we're sitting in a restaurant right now, and I know this comes up when we're dealing with food and where we have heavy volume of customers in and out. If a business wants to come in and open up a business, but they have to dig the well, they have to put in the septic, they are now responsible for everything that happens for that well and septic.
Yes.
If they move into a building that is on a town-maintained, municipally-maintained water and sewer system, it allows them to have the freedom to say, well, if there's a problem with my water, I get to go to the town.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And more retailers, more and more chains, more and more larger companies, the O'Reillys, the McDonald's, the Jack in the Boxes, do not want to be in the water and sewer business. They want to be in the burger and fry business.
Exactly. And fire suppression is another.
Safety-wise, yeah.
Huge. It's huge. When you have to dig a pond behind your restaurant or your store and fill it with water so that the fire engines will have enough water for fire suppression, a lot of businesses won't do that.
Yeah. Like you said, if they wanted to be in the sewer and water business, they would have opened a sewer and water company.
Yes.
Pretty much. Okay.
Yes. So that is an area that Chino kind of gets a bad rap of saying, Chino is not business friendly. It's not that we don't want you, but they come in and say, this isn't conducive to having our business here because you don't provide this. So we're working areas that we can start providing that.
So that's where you, as the elected officials, and then the town staff, town employees, that's where you guys have to walk that fine line between making sure the people that are self-sufficient are as happy as the people that need to work day in and day out for a living.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. And that line is getting thinner and thinner, I think, right? As far as trying to keep the segments of population happy?
You know, the way I look at it, the potholes are getting deeper and deeper. So therefore, before we completely have no roads, then we just have to step up and make those decisions as council people and attract businesses and make it better for everybody, as much as some people fight getting better.
Now, you mentioned, Corey, that prior to coming in into the interior and working with P&Z in recent months, recent year, as an observer, you had certain ideas that weren't necessarily in line with the steps that go in. And that's just a common thing. On the outside, we as the public don't always know the steps that go in.
Yes.
I know, Mayor, this is one that's close to your heart. We don't have to be on a committee. We don't have to be an elected official to know what's going on. What's one way that the public can know what's going on?
How about
what happened at 6 o'clock today? There was a meeting with about 14 people in it.
Okay. Coming to the meetings at Town Hall, standard town council meetings, a lot of folks stay home and watch them.
Yeah.
So there is actually a large contingent of folks that watch the videos of the town hall meetings. I like having a good attendance at the town hall meetings, because when folks come in and they hear the reasoning behind the decisions we make, I'm as guilty of it as the next person. Before I got involved in the town's government, I would sit on the outside and go, those idiots, why would they spend so much money on
little
such
did
and
you
such?
Know you would be little one of those idiots.
I was one of those. Actually, I have one of those little micarta name tags that says idiot on it. and it's the horses in the roundabout are a perfect example.
It's one of my favorites.
I still have people tell me, you know, that's the dumbest thing the town could have done, and I have to explain to them, it's federal beautification, highway beautification dollars. It can only be used for beautifying the highway. And it ended up making some nice sculptures. So, you know, that's you don't have enough time in your radio program for me to talk about my opinions on grants. But I would hope to see some grant reform someday. But for right now, as Corey pointed out, the federal money is there for highway beautification. If we can beautify our highway, I'm good with it.
And as far as the public goes, show up, watch it online, get educated.
You bet.
Before formulating your opinion.
Yeah, I'm trying to put out mayor's reports as often as possible, especially on topics that are fairly current. A lot of times I can't put out a mayor report right then, because I have to wait till all the numbers come in. So if someone else wants to write an article and just make up numbers, they can do that.
That's
and
done
I
can, a lot.
And I end up having to chase it. So. But that's all right. Eventually, I can put out an article that says, this cost XXX number of dollars, and this was the reason why it was done.
And that brings up an interesting point. Sometimes, occasionally, council, the town staff, and everybody involved have to make decisions not based on what's best financially. Sometimes it's based on what's best for the town or what can better the lives of the town. And the reason I bring that up is your mayor's report that came out this week.
Right.
On paper, if just a bean counter, you could look at a town service and say it's losing money, it's not needed like a police or sewer or something. And I don't even want to use this word, but it's a luxury, and it's costing the town money. Close it down.
Mm-hmm.
You address the reasons or some of the reasons why that's not the case and the thinking behind making decisions specifically to our town aquatic center.
You bet.
It was built how many years ago? Before you were in office.
Before I was in office. I think about 2004 or
It was
like
voted
that.
In to go ahead with this project. It costs the town money every year, and not dollars and cents. It's big huge. Money.
Yeah.
It costs, what was it? How much? $1,000 a day?
Like $1,200 a day.
I'll put the link on it. Yeah. And then a couple of hundred a day when it's not open.
Right.
So some people say, well, let's open it year round and then people can swim in it. Well, if 50 people are in there, if 20 people are in there, if 5 people are in there, it's not going to pay for itself.
No.
So the decision was made based on public feedback to keep it open this year.
That's correct.
Because the town people, the residents, wanted it. Mm-hmm. They wanted a spot for their kids, their families. People go there for some of the classes and the exercise things for health and things. So it's not a on paper, money-wise, it appears to not make sense. But in the long run, making the public happy, giving the kids an outlet, improving the quality of life, it was decided to keep it open. Yeah,
it's a quality of life issue. Yeah. There's a number of intangibles. The ability to teach a child to swim so he won't drown. You can't put a price tag on that. The recreation that it provides our youth during the summer months, the employment that it provides for them, you can't put a price tag on those. I'm a price tag kind of a guy. My wife and I joke about it. I don't like to grow anything. I don't want to water it and fertilize it if I can't cook it and eat it. And yet for her, she likes flowers. She likes a flower garden. And so we end up having quality of life things that we have around our home that are aesthetically beautiful but don't put any food on the plate. And we also raise vegetables.
So one solution would be if anybody really, really complains about wanting the pool closed because it's not financially viable, to maybe let them open up their backyard for the kids to come play in during the summer months.
You bet. Turn on the
turn on the sprinklers.
Turn on the sprinkler. Get a large sheet of plastic and have
Robert's have eyes all just bulged over.
No, that'd be great. That'd be great.
So where are we headed as a town, Corey? What do you envision? What are some of the goals you want to accomplish in your term here? That goes up to 2016.
I even have a further goal than that for the town. Prescott and the surrounding area has always had a problem with kids once they get out of high school. What do I do? And unfortunately, most of them have to move. The opportunities are not here. So we kind of have a gap that we have young kids. And then you have the retired elderly, but we're kind of lacking in that middle section. And I guess I'm to the point in my life that I'm very fortunate that my daughter, my son-in-law, and my granddaughter are able to, not my granddaughter have a job, but my daughter and son-in-law can make a living here so that my granddaughter is here close.
My kid's 5. I wish he had a job.
Yeah, that would be nice. But, you know, I'd like to fill that gap so that we're a more well-rounded community so that, you know, we have everybody from the babies to the elderly.
So you envision some employment opportunities that will keep people in town, living in town, spending in town, working in town?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. That would be the long-term goal. For me.
Now, looking at it long term, we have some opportunities for that. We're in a unique spot with the town owning a large portion of land. Mayor Marley, you want to talk a little bit about the Old Home Manor and what the possibilities are for out that way?
You bet. We are in a unique situation as a town. Having a large piece of property owned by the town and owning the water rights to that, we have what's called the Old Home Manor Recreation Committee that's looking over that entire piece of land. On the east end of that, we have a Model Aviators Club has a little landing strip. Embry-Riddle flies a lot of their little test planes out of there that the students build. We also have the Chino Valley Shooting Facility that's operated by the Prescott Sportsman's Club. So we have what we would refer to as the noisy recreation over on that end, the model airplanes and the
away
rifle
from
and
the
pistol
denser
matching.
Population.
It's away from the denser population. We have a central area, which right now we have some folks that are hoping to do some type of equestrian activities there. We've had folks that have offered to bring in concerts in that open area in the center. And then over on the western end, where the town's wastewater treatment plant is, we have designated sort of a C-shaped space that surrounds that wastewater plant. And because there's a wastewater treatment plant there, you're not going to get a Starbucks or a boutique or any of that. We want to try and bring industry in, because that industry, we can surround that wastewater treatment plant with what I would hope would be decent paying jobs, machine shops, those type of things. If we can
small industry,
yeah, if we can have a small industry in, we already have quite a few small industries in the area that can be feeders for that. We have anodizing plants, we have machine shops. If we can bring in a small manufacturing outfit that maybe brings 50, 60 jobs to the area, it'll actually, the satellite companies, the anodizing plants and the machine shops, can be feeding that industry. I see a good synergy coming out of that that'll help the entire town.
And this is this outlook, these hopes, these plans, these wishes are not something we'll see in the next few years. We're looking long-term, long-range solutions to sustaining this town.
I think things like this can actually get rolling fairly mm-hmm. quickly. There's just no reason not to. Chino's actually geographically in a better spot than Prescott and Prescott Valley. We are closer to Interstate 40.
To a major
which
artery.
Which is a major east-west interstate for this country. We have the people here.
The railroad spur.
The railroad spur, yes. So we do have an advantage over, again, Prescott Valley.
Without having to cut through a town.
Yes.
A major town to get and clogging up the town streets and things.
Exactly.
We've got 89 directly up to the 40.
So it then boils back down to the infrastructure and, again, making Chino available.
Yeah.
And that's... That, I think, is the key to our success as a town.
Now, we are, like you said, in a unique location. Mm-hmm. We're unique in the sense of owning that property. How many acres is that?
What is that, Robert? The Old Home Manor?
How many acres
how
is
many
that?
Acres?
800. It's a bit. It's a big. Yeah. It's more than I would want to mow.
Yeah.
And it's
with
owned
a, with
by
a
the
hand mower,
with a hand mower,
yeah.
with my clippers, my garden shears. There's lots about our area that is unique, not mm-hmm. unique, not just unique to the country, to the state, but unique yeah. to our own little quad Cinco mm-hmm. Cities area mm-hmm. that we live yeah. in, Prescott Valley, mm-hmm. Chino, Dewey, Humboldt. There's something else that makes us pretty unique in what happened tonight, and we talked about this earlier. With these two openings, with Corey, you taking your spot, and with some recent state election guideline changes, we will have 7 elected seats, including all council members and the mayor, all open up in 2016.
That's correct.
What's that mean to the logistics of getting those spots filled? There's a couple of those will be, while they all come up for re-election in 16, they... While they all come up for election in 16, some will be elected to extend farther than others, and that has to do with the election
correct.
Changes. But what's this mean for the folks at Chino and folks that maybe plan on running? It's because it used to be like on a staggered thing.
Right,
a couple would come up, do one cycle. A couple would come up another cycle. Here, we're going to have 7 seats. It's going to be a kind of a free-for-all.
Go ahead.
I was going to say... really, it's a magnification of what we already, the system that we already have. At any given election cycle, you've got three seats come up and the mayoral seat, because the mayoral office is the election comes up every 2 years, whereas council members are every four. So theoretically, on every 2 years, the power balance can shift one way or another. Unfortunately, it's a two-edged sword. The bad side of it is you can have a you can be on a track and be making progress in one direction, and you can bring in three new council members and a new mayor, and all of a sudden go 180 out in a different direction. 2 years later, come back in another direction. And that can be difficult for a town to recover from. They don't ever gain momentum when you shift back and forth like that. That's the bad side. The upside is if you have a bad town government, you only have to put up with them for 2 years. And you know, I say that in a way sarcastically, but it's also true. You know, there's a lot of political figures that I wish I only had to put up with for 2 years. So I can imagine the same thing being said about me.
Well, I'll put you on the spot, Corey. 2016, you going to run?
I'm more inclined to say yes, but I think I have a year and a half to prove myself. The town's in a unique position here. Since these are appointed seats that are now open, and a lot of people I know are probably pretty unhappy about this, but it allows the council members that are there right now to choose the people that they think best complement the council. And what that will do is give us the opportunity to really just push ahead quickly. That it eliminates a lot of the debating. Now, that could be good and bad, but to me, it gives us a year and a half to prove that our thinking works, or it gives us a year and a half to prove that it doesn't. And if that's the case, then we should be replaced.
You bet.
But I'm confident that we have the right frame of mind to get Chino up and running.
Mm-hmm. Mayor Marley, I'm asking you the same question. 16, you going to run?
Oh, it's a good thing we're on radio here. You can't see the expression on my face. The jury's still out on that. It really is. I this last few weeks has brought quite a few changes. I've been able to actually accomplish some things in the mayoral office in the 4 years that I've been in. But it's been difficult. I won't lie about that. It's in a lot of cases it's been like chopping wood with a dull axe, and we're finally starting to see some of the fruit of our labors. It would be hard to walk away at 5.5 years in and actually be seeing some of the fruit of our labors and walk away from that. But if that be the case, that be the case. You know, I didn't lay awake nights wanting to be involved in government. I like seeing results. And as I've said before, having worked in the trades all my life, you give me a task, I'll get the job done as quickly as I can. And in government, you have to have seven people agree that there is a problem and seven people agree on how to fix the problem. And I've never been, I've always liked just finding the problem, repairing it, and get on to the next project. So
it's a wait and see.
It's a wait and see.
Now, I did notice Mrs. Mayor was in the audience tonight at the meetings. Should I just ask her, or do I know the answer that I'd get from her?
You know what? And I can say this. This is it's sort of dark humor, but you'll understand it. A couple of years back, there was an individual that said that they were going to take out a recall petition against me. And my wife said, "Where is it? I want to sign it. I want my husband back." Because there's been a lot of honeydews that had to get set on the side burner while I've been at meetings, while I've been serving the town. So, and I don't blame her for that.
That's the trade-off for all the big bucks you make as mayor of Chino Valley.
And the fame.
And the fame. Yeah. Let's touch on that. Just say it's public record. What does the mayor make in Chino Valley?
The mayor's wages are $200 per month. It's $2,400 a year, and I spend $2,500 a year on antacids, Tums and Rolaids.
The motivation to work in Chino Valley politics, small town politics across the nation, evidently, is to make the life better for the town which you serve. Is that a safe bet?
It's to make the life better. I have no clue what Corey made before he stepped into this office. But I know as a level 9 journeyman, it's a little bit better than what the mayor's office
pays. So it's not to have to sit around on a Tuesday night talking with the likes of me.
Right. It's a service to your community. It's like doing a hitch in the military. Except here you get to recognize the ones that are
I don't think you'd get shot at as much in the military.
My son got a lot less flack in Iraq than I do here. Yeah.
All right, anything you guys want to hit on? Anything we didn't touch that you'd like to get out there or
No, I just think I'm gonna have a little bit of a quest of getting more people involved in town government. Make them more aware of what's going on. Unfortunately, the town direction is quite often steered by special interest groups. And I'd like the general public and the working people to take a little bit more control themselves.
Mm-hmm. And get a little more education. Yes. Chris, anything you want to add before we sign off into this good night?
No, I would echo that. I like it when the silent majority steps forward. We hear a lot from the vocal minorities, but it just brightens my day when the silent majority steps up.
So find correct information, a good place to start. ChinoAZ.net. Look on the links for their social media, their YouTube channel, which broadcasts most, if not all, of the public meetings. Agendas for all public meetings are posted there as well. Mm-hmm. Follow some local media. Make sure you're paying attention. And don't believe everything you hear, because it could be coming out of my mouth, and who knows where that came from. All right, well, thanks. Brand new council member Corey Mendoza, 2 weeks in, and he's still smiling. Mr. Marley, 2 terms in, and he's smiling a little too much. He's making me worry. Also sitting over there, town manager Robert Smith. Anything you want to add? No? Are you pointing at me? Were you waving? What?
Good.
All right. Well, thanks. Thanks for your time, guys.
Thank you,
and
Matt.
Thank you to the folks at Arturo's Mexican Restaurant in Chino Valley for opening up their restaurant and letting us take up space.
Yeah, they're decent folks.
There is nothing in the streets that looks any different to me than the slogans are replaced by the lie. Parting on the left, and now they're parting on the right, and the beards have all grown longer overnight. And I tip my hat to the new constitution, take a bow for